Okay, the Mishnah begins. Dina Mamunis Bishlosha, Gzeros Chavalos Bishlosha. That's about as far as we're going to get in the Mishnah today. So comes Rashi and says, Dina Mamunis Bishlosha, Bigmar Yafinu, Gzeros. So Rashi is telling you, what does it mean exactly? Gzela, Kof of the Pikadon. If a person was given a Pikadon to watch and he denies that he ever had it, Mishnah Shalach Bayad, Havigazon. So once he's Shalach Bayad, once he uses the Pikadon that of course he's not allowed to use, that's considered to be a gazon. That's the funny kind of a gazon. That's the chiddush. I don't know if I was writing the Rashi. I don't know if I start off gazela with that. But Rashi is telling you that's a type of gazela. The chayin achaytef miyad chavera at the gazon. All what we call it, because a gazon means I mug you, whatever. I beat you up, take your money away. That's a gazon. Kagon veigzol asachonis miyad amitri. So Rashi gives you two different examples of gazela. Now Rashi comes to give you an example of something which is not gazela. Of a lova veloshilim lamikra gazlan. If a person borrows money and he doesn't pay back the debt, that's why I call the gazlan the milvah lotzonit. And the reason is because of the principle of milvah lotzonit. And we'll talk about that principle of milvah lotzonit a little bit on as we go along. But basically what that klal means is like this. When I lend you money, so it's understood you're going to use the money. You don't have to give me back those same dollar bills that I lent you. So therefore, if you don't give back the chov, it's not considered like you're stealing something that belongs to me. We'll talk about that principle as we go on. So Rashi starts off the Masechta by telling us this piece of critical information that halva, a din Torah concerning a loan, whether the guy did pay back, didn't pay back, that should not be confused with a din Torah concerning gezelos. Gezelos v'chavolos is one category in halacha. Hodolos v'avolos is a different category in halacha. That's going to become critical throughout the first sugya that we're going to be discussing, throughout the first couple of sugya that we're going to be discussing in the next couple of days. Is this such a double pasha, that which Rashi is saying? That if I don't pay back a chayiv, so I'm not considered to be a gazlan? So, who throws into question that? No, who's on the Maimakamis? Those who, by the way, weren't in the first Olbeis Medrash may not have realized that they were Maimakamis. So, okay, from now on, you have to get to Maimakamis, see if you learn somewhere else. So, who threw into question this Kisari that Rashi is telling us? The Vezim and Almond and Ed, and Rashi says, you don't pay back a chayiv, you're not a gazlan. Who questions that? Rashi himself, Rashi Mesechet Gittin. So, there's a Gemara Mesechet Gittin at Daf Lamed Vav, which discusses as follows. There's a din of, we just read in this parsha, Shemitah Sikhsofim. If I borrow money from you, so comes the end of the Shemitah year, so in the case of a Shanim Shatas and Shemitah, so you don't have to pay back the Chayiv. The Chayiv is cancelled. Good. So comes the Gemara, Mesechet Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, and says that Shemitah Sikhsofim, in order to be Noyeg Min HaTorah, you need a whole series of different conditions. It could be that Shemitah is only Noeg Bizman Shah Yovel Noeg, and Yovel is only Noeg under certain circumstances. So it's quite possible that many times historically when there is no Shemitah Sikhsofim in HaTorah. And Afal Pichayim, the Chachamim instituted the principle of Shemitah Sikhsofim. So what does that mean in effect? So basically, let's say I borrow $100 from Moshe, right? So let's say for argument's sake, Min HaTorah, there's no din of Shemitah Sikhsofim. So comes the end of the seventh year, so I still owe you the money. What happens? Come the Chacham and say, no, it's okay, you don't have to pay back the Chov. So comes the Gemara and asks, hey, wait a second. I mean, the Chacham are telling you to violate an Isra in the Torah. What Isra are they telling you to violate? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Gezela, Rashi is the favor, should get in the Flamed Vav. That the Chacham are in effect telling you to violate Los Higzol. So you see that the Gemara and the Flamed Vav and the Sechas Gittin, from the fact that it asked that Kasha, how could there be an institution of Shemitah Sikhsofim B'dei Rabbanan, the Gemara is clearly working with the aside that not paying back a Chov is considered to be an act of gezela. The only thing is, that's not the maskana of the Gemara. What does the Gemara answer? The Gemara started off by saying, Mika mide, can it be that the Chacham tell you to violate gezela? And what does the Gemara answer? No, it's okay. It's alright. It's fine. It's not a problem. So what's pshat of the Teretz HaGemara? So comes Rashi and Gittin Taflam above and says, that was goofy what the Teretz of the Gemara was. So that which you thought incorrectly, that not paying back a chov is considered to be an act of gezela, that is dead wrong. Not paying back a chov is not considered to be an act of gezela, as Rashi says, without telling you exactly, as I said in Masechet Sanhedrin, and the Beis Amal, not paying back a chov is not called gezela, it's just cool. Not fulfilling the mitzvah, Priyas Bachov, I didn't pay back, I'm a mean guy, I'm not going to give you an after yoina, but am I a gazlan? I'm not a gazlan. A gazlan means you go to a bank and you put a gun to the teller's head. That's called gazela. Now, paying back a chov is not a nice thing to do, but it's not considered to be a mitzvah gazela. So according to Rashi and Gittin Daflam Mizvav, that was goofy the shock of the in the Gemara. The Gemara thought it was gazela, the Gemara's Muskana was, and in fact it's not gazela. Is there any other way to read the Gemara in Gittin Daflam Mizvav besides the Rashba, those sort of Rashba? The Gemara had a kasha. Hey, how could the Chum institute the din of Shemitah Sikhsofim with the Rabban? They're telling the guy to violate Gezela. And the Gemara says, no, that's okay.
It is Gezela,
but they were okay. No, so what does that mean? What do you mean by that? Oh, Tazoi. So comes the Gemara and tells us the following. You say, We know HaKadosh Baruch gave us a lot of mitzvahs, right? He gave us 613 mitzvahs. Now the Chacham come along, and the Chacham say, we want to change some of these mitzvahs. We want to tell you not to do certain mitzvahs. So they're allowed to do that or not. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. So the Gemara's maskan is as follows. That yesh kach v'yach Chacham lacha davim et atar b'sheiv al tasa, but ain kach v'yach Chacham lacha davim et atar b'kub asay. It means that the Chacham do not have the koyach to tell you to actively violate an aveir. Let's say all the Rabbanim of the world would get together and say, we think it's very, very important that everybody should eat treif today. So they have no right to do that. However, let's say the Chacham would tell you that we think it's a great idea that nobody should put on tefillin today. What's the din? So yesh kach v'yachom lakodov min atar b'sheiv al tasa. They do have the right to do that. Not only do they theoretically have the right to do that, we know for a fact that they actually use that right. How do we know they use that right? We can rattle off at least 3 or 4 examples. Yosef, come on. Give me some examples that the Chum got together and say, hey, guess what? We don't want you to do any mitzvahs. I mean, a particular mitzvah. Shofar and Shabbos, right? What else? Lulav and Shabbos. Those are the easy ones. There you go. Okay, good. Okay. So a whole bunch of different things that the Chum va'oikeh b'sheiv al tasa. So maybe the Pshat in the Gemara in Nach Lamed Vav is totally different from the way Rashi learned. Maybe the Pshat was that the Gemara thought that the Chachamim are not allowed to tell you to violate an Isra of Gezeilah. Therefore, the Gemara was concerned with the Takanas Chachamim of Shemitah's Ksafim. And the Gemara's Maskana is, no, that's okay, that you are a Gazlan, but since you're a unique type of a Gazlan, you're a Gazlan B'Shev Al Tasa. Usually a Gazlan means I go up to you and I grab your shirt off your back. That's a Gazlan B'Kum Vaseh. But here, I borrowed money from you. There's nothing wrong with borrowing money. And then I default on the loan 6 months later. That's called the Gezeilah B'Shev Al Tasa. So maybe that's okay. Maybe Yesh Kerech B'Yachom Lachad Av Minatayra B'Shev Al Tasa. So maybe it's a totally different shot than Rashi Masechet Gittin is saying. So again, we have Rashi and Sanhedrin that says that the basis of our Mishnah that distinguishes between Hodos, Halvos on one hand versus Gezeilah on the other hand is that not paying back a Chayiv is not called an act of Gezeilah. We have the Havamina of the Gemara in Gittin that clearly was learning that it was an act of Gezeilah. Rashi in Gittin says that the Havamina was taka wrong. And we're saying Apshat. We're giving our open Apshat, namely, that no, maybe the Havamina is taka right. And the only reason why it's mutta for the Chum to institute Shemitah's Ksafim is because it's B'Sheva Al Tasa. Is that a good Pshat in the Gemara? Is that a viable working Pshat in the Gemara? Any reason why Rashi didn't think of it? What child do we have to raise in order to understand that Gemara Matachas Gittin, which is ultimately going to impact on Rashi here? What should we be asking ourselves? Is there really Shev Al Tasa? So what are you saying, Yosef? No? What are you really saying?
Does something have to happen when 30 days? Does he just have to sit back and not do anything, or is something happening at that time?
Start. By the way, this is a free for all for everyone, not just the guys who are here last year. Yeah, Alex.
I kind of see that. I mean, when you originally made the loan from the beginning, if you're not paying it back retroactively, you took it originally.
Wow, that's too long to show me. Wow, that's retroactive, I'm afraid, maybe. But. Okay.
When does
the
sale take
place
when you gave the loan?
Yeah, so you're like Alex. You're that same London Shavar. Right, right. That's too deep for us, yeah. So Yesh Lachor, we have the following Shaila. This klal that the Gemara in Yevamos gives us, that Yesh Kach B'Yachad Chamim, to uproot mitzvahs in the Torah, B'Shev Al Tasa, but not to Kum Vasei. So we gave two examples. We gave an example of Shev Al Tasa, we gave an example of Kum Vasei. The example of Kum Vasei was to eat treif. The example of Shev Al Tasa was not to put on tefillin. Now, there are two differences between those two examples. One is that one possible distinction between the two is that one is an assay and one is a los assay. The other possible distinction between those two is that one is active and one is passive. Okay, now those two things are not necessarily go hand in hand. You can have los assays that are passive and you can have assays that are active. Okay, so when the Gemara says in the Maseches Yevamos and Daf Tes that yesh kerech b'yachad chom lakodav min atar b'shev al tasa, but not the kum v'asei, does the Gemara mean that it's all a function of active versus passive? That's the only thing that interests us? Or no, the Gemara is just using a code for assays versus los assays. That the Chum can uproot mitzvah assays, they cannot touch los assays. So it's not crystal clear from the Gemara in Yevamos what exactly is the determining factor. Now, l'chair, that's going to make all the difference in the world in how to learn the Gemara Maseches Gittin. If you hold that the Yesod HaYesodis, as the Rambam says, Yesodis, Yesodis, Amud HaChokhmos, everything is, depends on essays versus lav. If the Chum cannot touch a lav, no matter what, whether it's active, whether it's passive, the Chum's hands are tied when it comes to the realm of lavim. If that's true, so then obviously the maskanas of Gemara, Masechet Gittin and Aflam Edvav, is that not paying back a choyd is not considered to be gezeila. Because if it would be gezeila, the Torah says lo sigzol, you ain't allowed, you're not allowed to steal. So if you tell me that the Chum can't touch a lav, al korchach, the maskanas of Gemara and Gittin, is that there's no iser gezeila taking place and not paying back a choyd. However, if you're willing to entertain the possibility that the Chum can touch lavim, the only thing that the Chum can't touch is kumva asay. They can't actively tell you to violate a nisr. Well, maybe one could, I could tell you the following story. When I'm not paying back the chayv, so I'm violating lo sigzol, but I'm not violating actively. I'm violating passively. So maybe that's okay. So ultimately, what is the maskanas of Gemara Maseches Gittin is going to depend on that shayla. So now, who wants to go one step further? So who wants to tell me what the answer to that shayla is? Well, Yadav, what do they say? No, what's the answer to that shayla? New Josh, what did they say? What did they say in LA about the Shaila? We don't talk about this. We talked about it. I said it under my breath. Hilchas Avelos number 3, right? I think it was the third year, second year. I got Vianinus. I said it at Kalei Achayad one day. It was still Kalei Achayad. It's 45. Yeah.
The Gemara in Brachos
from Tachof.
Your
test and stuff, yeah. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Rashi's whole story there, right? That's right. The only thing is that Rashi there is not, it's talking about a different thing. It's talking about Kavanah Brios. The Gemara uses the same klalim, Sheva Tasavis. That's right. The Gemara does use similar klalim. There may be similarities between the two. Good, good. That's a very good point. A very good point. Oh, you're into the Rashba. The Rashba. You're already in the Rashba's league. I don't understand the Rashba's. I don't understand what you're saying either. Okay, we'll get to that also. I just want to know the answer to Nerus Kasha. What's the din? Should the Chum have the right to be Oikir Alav if the Akiris Alav is B'Shev Al Tasa? And that's going to ultimately affect Kazeva. So there's a Rashba. Not that Rashba, another Rashba. This Rashba I do understand, maybe. But the Rashba Mashiach Hashanah, a very famous Rashba. Anyone know what I'm referring to? Very, very famous Rashba. Did I put it on the Marmar Kremlis? No? Didn't put it on? Okay. So I'll say it now. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says the following, that the Chachamim instituted that you have to blow Tekiah Shofar above and beyond the actual mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. Minatari you have to blow 9 kailos, which become 30 kailos, Nisafeng, but Minatari, once you blow 30 kailos, you're finished. Midrabanan, you have to blow another 30 kailos. So comes the Rashba and asks, what's the Kasha, no? Right? The Torah says to blow X, and now you're blowing X plus. That's the Rashba's kasha. So the emphasis of Tosis, yes, that same kasha. Tosis gives a very simple Torah. Tosis says, well, Tosis means when you change the mitzvah. When you just constantly repeat the same item mitzvah, that's not about Tosis. Let's say Tosis says, the Torah says you have to eat a kazayis amasa. So a guy eats 25 kazayis. And this guy has a very big card which says that average kazayis is 14 henshmurmas. Okay? So he's eating and eating and eating and eating. So Tosis says, that's not about Tosis. It may be foolish, but that's not about Tosis. So Tosis says, when you keep on blowing the same story over and over and over again, so maybe a little neurotic, but that's not about Tosis. So the Rashba gives a different term. The Rashba says, no. Bal Tosif means when an individual adds on to the mitzvahs. When Beis Din makes a takana, that's not Bal Tosif. That's called Losasim and Adavar Shegidul Chayim Minus Mo. That's this week's parsha. Rashba says Bal Tosif means if I as an individual decide to take 5 minim for a dollar minim, that's Bal Tosif. If I as an individual decide to add on a 5th bayis to my tefillin, that's Bal Tosif. When the Chachamim tell you to do something, that's Mufka from the Parashah Bal Tosif. That's the Rashba's Chiddush and Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin. Comes the Rashba and says, I'll prove to you that I'm right, says the Rashba, that the Parashah Bal Tosif doesn't apply to the Chachamim. It's only a mitzvah which is Metamos of the Yochid. The Raya is followed. The Gemara says in the beginning of the fourth Berak of Rosh Hashanah that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Says the Rashba, how could you not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos? You're in violation of what is there? What is it? Not blowing shofar. What's the answer? Not blowing shofar? Not blowing shofar. It's a trick question. Baltigra. Baltigra. The Torah says you have to blow and you don't blow. That's Baltigra. That's Baltigra. That's Tamil Kalash. Shekhazai doesn't know what the Rashba is talking about. Baltigra means you take 3 batim in your tefillin. Baltigra means when you have 3 strings in your tefillin. Baltigra means when you're missing an esrog. That's Baltigra. Not doing a mitzvah is Baltigra. Let's say a guy oversleeps. He missed Man Kriyashma this morning. So he's over in Baal Tigra. Let's say there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. So a guy doesn't come to say he's over Baal Tigra. So the Rashi says, yeah, you're over Baal Tigra. That's exactly what the Rashi says. Well, pretty serious stuff, huh? Uh-huh. Okay, that's a good question. Okay, we're not talking about Baltikra Sugi, but I hear what you're saying. I hear it's a good ha'ara. So again, so this is the Rashba, it's unbelievable you said. Shai Gesai says he doesn't know where he got this idea from, but let's assume that it's right. That there's an Isser Baltikra in not doing a mitzvah. So comes the Rashba and says, how can the Chacham tell you not to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah Shachar B'Shabbos? They're telling you to violate Baltikra and they can't do that. So it must be that's not called Baltigra. You know why? Because it's the Chum who are doing it, and the Parsha of Baltois and the Parsha of Baltigra were given to Yechidim, they weren't given to Beizim. Atkan Divher Rashba. So comes the Shagasai, who besides the Kasha we mentioned before, and comes with a bomb Kasha. What's the bomb Kasha? Do you understand this Rashba? Do you understand the Rashba? Right? You got the Rashba? So what's the Shagasai's Kasha in the Rashba? Lou Johnson, what's the Shagasai's Kasha now in the Rashba?
Possible that
how could
the Rashi was just saying
if
he was trying to recruit for
Baal Tosis
that
the Chacham has the right. Yeah, it's the same parsha, same pulse. Again, yeah. The Rashi is trying to bring a halacha that anytime Beizin gets involved, that's not considered to be Baal Tosis, Baal Tigra. That those are mitzvahs in the Yachid. So the Rashi brings a right from the fact the Chacham were oik in the mitzvah the Kishayfer. You see from here that's not Mr. Baal Tigra. What's the kasha? Yeah, what kind of guy is that? Look, Shev Al Tasa. Yesh Kach B'Yad Chom L'Akad Amin Atar B'Shev Al Tasa. Right? What's the right? To the case about Tali, he says the Chom is telling you actively to take the show from blowing another 30 kerlis. Here the Chom is telling you to come to the show in Rosh Hashanah and put your hands behind your back and not to blow shayfa. So they're allowed to do that. Yesh Kach B'Yad Chom L'Akad Amin Atar. So how about the Rosh for being a raya that Baal Tigra was not given to Beis Din? The Chara, it was given to Beis Din, and the Beis Din is in violation of Baal Tigra, all in violation of Baal Tigra, and Achav B'Chaim, you're allowed to do it, because Yesh Kach, Yelcham, Lachav Baal Tigra. So what do you see cloth in the Rashba? What? Not passive active. The Rashba holds that the Chum have no right to touch Lavim, to hands off in the realm of Lavim. So if Baal Tigra would have been an Isser that's given to Beis Din, the Beis Din would have no Kayach to tell you not to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yisbe Shabbos. And the fact that Chum told you not to, the Charaya Brura, that Baal Tigra is not in the Parsha. That Beis Din is not in the Parsha of Baal Tigra. That's the Shittas HaRashba. Okay? Now, come back to Gezeilah. Remember, we're learning Sanhedrin, not Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Like usual. So we're learning Sanhedrin. So according to the Rashba, that the Chum can't touch a lav. So the Chara, how does the Gemara get read now? The Gemara thought in Gittin that the Chum don't have a right to institute Shemitah's Kesafim because that's a violation of Gezeilah. So now the Gemara says, no, that's okay, they're allowed to. What must the Gemara be saying? Like whose pshat? Like Rashi's pshat. There is no other option according to the Rashba. You cannot learn apshat. Apshat is up the creek. Because to say that, no, yeah, it is Gezeilah. It's Gezeilah even, it's Gezeilah B'Shev Al-Tasa. Therefore the Chum have the right to be Eikarit. No, it's not true. Because just as the Chum would not have had the right to be Eker Baal Tigra, even though it's B'Shev Baal Tasa, because it's a law of Nami, they would not have the right to be Eker Gezeila B'Shev Baal Tasa. So it's Muchach from the Rashba and Rosh Hashanah and the Sugya Tekiah Shofar that he also, L'Chora, had to learn the Gemara Maseches Gittin not the way we suggested, the way Rashi suggested. Is there anyone available on our side? So if we're against Rashi, we're against the Rashba. Is there anyone who can learn Pshat in the Gemara that no, that the Gemara sticks to its guns, that there is an Isser Gezeila of not paying back a Chayiv, and the only reason why it's Mutter for the Chum Institute not to pay back a Chayiv is because it's B'Shev Al Tasa? So Pasha, there's a Taisus that holds this way. There's a Taisus in Yivam, that pay test. The Gemara says that one of the examples of Yesh Koch V'Yad Chum Lach or Dov Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Tasa is Tzitzis. You told me the case before, right? What was the scenario? Related, yeah. Something like that. Okay. Yeah, what's the din? So Minatar, the din is if you have a four-cornered linen baggage, you have to put tzitzit on, right? That's the din Minatar. But the Rabban, the Chum said you're not to tell a stick, because they're afraid if you may put on the fake tchelet, it'll turn out to be kelayim shalom boch. It's a whole complicated sugin shal. It's fine. So Lamaita Minatar, you have to wear tzitzit on a four-cornered linen, and Midrabban, you don't. So the Gemara says you're allowed to go ahead, lechatchila, and wear a four-cornered baguette, and you're not having tzitzis. I think the Gemara says that's okay. Yesh koch be'alchom lakodav me'atar b'shev al tasa. So comes Tysus and asks, what do you mean shev al tasa? Why is that shev al tasa? L'chara, that's an active violation of the mitzvah tzitzis, because you're taking a beged, you're putting on a beged. So isn't that an amaisa? How does the Chum have a right to tell you to do that? They're telling you to do a maisa isa. So comes Tyson and says, no. If the mitzvah of tzitzis would have been that the chi of its chal, as you put the beged on, that would not be a problem. Tyson tells you an unbelievable chiddush. You know the mitzvah of tzitzis is chal? Catch this one. I'm holding the beged in midair. I'm not chayiv to this yet. I put it on, b'shas atifa, I'm not chayiv to this yet. Once it's on me, then the chi of tzitzis sets in, a split second later. Says Taisa, that split second later, that's called Sheval Tasa. That's the only reason why the Gemara is able to call Tzitzis Sheval Tasa, because the Chiyuv does not set in B'shas Levishas HaBeged. Right, that's true, right. That is true. That, right, Tosas draws the distinction. That ties into the top, they test some of these, draws that distinction, right, good. You want me to see something? Good, okay. Does anyone understand Tosis? Does anyone understand why Tosis had to give you this whole story? Why did Tosis have to give you a whole story here with the tzitzis starts now, starts then, a split second later? Why didn't Tosis just say it's an assay? So the Chum can do whatever they want in the realm of assays. So the Chari, you see now that Tosis held the chilik of the Gemara is not between assays and lamim. The chilik of the Gemara is between Sheval Tasa in contrast to Kumbase. Whenever it's Kumbase, the Chum can't get involved. Whenever it's Sheval Tasa, I don't care whether it's a lava or it's an Ase, that's fine, got no problem. Chum can do whatever they want in the realm of Sheval Tasa. So it could be, according to Tosin Yuvam Masaf Peites, we may have an alternate pshat in the Gemara Masaf Gittin. And the Gemara says, the Gemara thought in the Havamina, Nimsa Haloi V'Gazlan Alpihem. Then the Gemara says, no, well, that's okay. So it could be, according to Tosis, that it is considered to be Gezela. But since it's a Gezela, V'Shev Al Tasa, so it's not the end of the world. V'yeshkaf yachom lakadav min ha-Torah B'Shev Al Tasa. So called Panim, we have Arashi, Masechet Sanhedrin. Arashi says clearly that not paying back a chayv is not Gezela. Finished. End of discussion. We have Rashi and Gittin that learned that that was goof of the Shach of a time in the Gemara. The Gemara thought it was, and the Gemara concluded it wasn't. And now we have another possible pshat, which we're convincing ourselves, trying at least, to convince ourselves that maybe Taizan Yavamos learned that way, that, no, maybe the Maskana of Gemara Tafa was. It really is Gezeil. It's 100% Gezeil, but since it's Sheva Al-Tas, that's a quirk. And Yesh Kach B'Yadacham L'Akadav Minotar. So far, so good. Parenthetically, the Rashba himself in Gittin has an unbelievable pshat in the Gemara. You saw that Rashba? The Rashba says that the kasha of the Gemara was not of Gezela. What was the kasha of the Gemara? When the Gemara said, "How can the Chum institute shmitas ksafim gavalt?" So the Rashba says the problem that was bothering Chazal and the Havamin was there's a din when you do shmitas ksafim, so the Malva has to say mishamet ani. So how can we actively tell the Malva to say mishamet ani? It's an avera. What's the avera saying mishamet ani? Did you understand the Rashba? Lecha, I don't understand what he meant. Lecha. So that was the kasha of the Gemara, and then the maskana of the Gemara was, no, that Misham HaRani is secondary. The real thing is the fact that the Chayv is cancelled, so that's B'Shev HaTasa. You also said that, Rashma? Did you understand what the Rashma? I can't understand what he's talking about. I don't understand what the Havmin and the maskana was. I don't understand the whole sugi according to the Rashma. But the simple pshat in the Gemara is like Rashi, and again, either like Rashi, or like we're saying, the permutation of Rashi. Good. What's wrong with saying Misham HaRani? Yeah, I'm going to say Mishamanani. I just didn't have air. Kapa Chayr, I said Mishamanani. I'm a Malva. I want to be Meichel Chayr. I'm not allowed to be Meichel Chayr.
The Chum can't require you.
Why not? That's not an Aveira to be Mishamanani Chayr. It's an Aveira to not to pay back a Chayr. There's no, what's the Ma'is Aveira with saying Mishamanani? The Chum instituted a lot of Din Rabbanon. They instituted a Din Rabbanon of Mukhti. They instituted a Din Rabbanon of Neres Chanukah. So they can't institute a Din Rabbanon that every Malva in the end of the Erev Rosh Hashanah of the 7th year has got to say Mishamanani. No, so the Gemara thought that's an Aveira to say Mishamarani and Kamash Malan. So that's the secondary thing. The real Takaras Chum was that the Chayv is Nishma. And Mishamarani is secondary. So I don't understand what that. No, did you understand? Anyone understand the Rashba?
Yeah,
the Rashi was saying that the Chaim was in Shabbat.
So what? So what's wrong with that?
The Chaim says that the second is that the owner has to say not to.
Yeah, I know, but Azma, so what's wrong with that? What's the issue involved with that? Which of the Tari mitzvahs is that to say Mishamarini? I'll say Mishamarini. What am I violating? Nothing. I don't understand. I don't know. Someone will figure it out. Let me know. Okay, good. So back to Sanhedrin. So Rashi's klar that you don't put back a chayv, it's not considered to be a gzela. Who disagrees with Rashi, Lamaisa? Which Rishon disagrees with Pharisee with Rashi and says that not to put back a chayv is considered to be a gzela? Rambam? Not really. Partially, halfway. Sefer Chinuch says it. Sefer Chinuch said it based on his reading Gemara in Misachas Bamitzia. The Gemara at the beginning of the fifth parak of Bamitzia has a very, very interesting sugya. The Gemara says, why do you need the following three mitzvahs? They seem to be repetitive. There's an issur of gezela, and there's an issur of onaah, and there's an issur of ribbis. Three different issurim. So they all boil down to taking somebody else's money, right? That's the bottom line. Ribbis or no and gazela. Taking somebody else's money which you're not entitled to. So Gemara says, Lamli dekasa chamona hani gimli surah. What do you need all three for? If the Torah would have just said one, you could have figured out the other. So the Gemara makes a whole cheshbon that it would have been hard to figure out one from another. But the Gemara's conclusion is that two out of three really would have been enough. If the Torah would have just said ribbis, it would have just said oh no, so we would have been able to figure out gazela. That's what Gemara says. So Imkain, the Gemara asks, so why does it say gezela if you don't need it? So the Gemara says, no. The reason why it says gezela is to tell me the following. There's another iser, also in that same parsha, lo sashra kis reachav lo sigza. What does lo sashra mean? What does the end of the pasuk say? Lo sashra kis reachav lo sigza. Lo salim tula sachir icha ad boker. Right? Okay. I haven't lost the touch. So the Gemara says that the guy who doesn't pay his worker, he's in violation of Lo Sashek. He's holding back the money from his worker. The Gemara says, you know what? When you Oishek, if you're not paying a salary, so then not only are you in violation of Lo Sashek, you're in violation of Lo Sigzal also. Lava Lo Bishnei Lavim. That's the only reason why it says Lo Sigzal. So the guy who robbed the bank, you don't need Lo Sigzal. I could have figured out. Can you imagine? The guy's holding up the bank, and we say to him, guess what? What's the issue? He says, what's the issue? Where does it say in the Chumash Lo Sigzal? So we say, you know, you're right, it doesn't say Lo Sigzal. The reason why you're not allowed to rob a bank is because it says Ribbis, and it says Onon, there's a Mematinu, and it's not a Shav, that you're not allowed to rob a bank. That's the Gemara says. That if it wouldn't have said Lo Sigzal, it would have still been also mandatory to rob a bank, based on this drasha of Ribbis and Onon. The only reason why the Torah says Lo Sigzal is to tell me, for the Kavish Chasachir, is violation of Tu Isurim. So, comes the Sefer Chinuch and makes two unbelievable statements. Each one is a Chiddush. Chiddush number one, says the Sefer Chinuch, this is of Lo Sashok, of Oshek, holding back the Tzchar Sochir. This has nothing to do with Tzchar Sochir, says the Sefer Chinuch. What does Oshek mean? A very global sense. Okay. Holding back money that you owe. Bottom line, you owe money for whatever reason, whatever shape or form, you owe another guy money, that's called the Nisa Derayt of Oshek. Tzchar Sochir is just an example, an illustration that the Torah gives. Then the Sefer Chinuch says that from Chiddush number two, that just as the Gemara says that the guy who's Oshek the Tzchar Sochir isn't Lav or Lav Bishnei Lav, he's in violation of Gezela. Who would deny me? Anyone who's Oshek under any circumstances is also in violation of Lo Sigzal. Now what are some other examples of Oshek? What are some other examples of I owe you money and I'm just refusing to pay? Says the Sefer Chinuch, classic example, I borrowed $100 from you. So says the Sefer Chinuch, I borrowed $100 from you, I'm in violation of Lo Sashok. Because after all, what's the difference? I saw here, not paying back Allah Havot, same thing. And number two, since Mimela, since Oshek and Gezela are in effect, Tainu Hach, says the Sefer Chinuch, so any guy who doesn't pay back the Chov is by definition considered to be a Gazlan. So that Sefer Chinuch disagrees with this Rashi. So the Yemen says both of the statements of the Chinuch are Mechudesh. It could be that neither one is right. It could be that Oshek is limited dafka to the Tzchar Sochir. And it could be, even if he's right that Oshek carries over to all not paying back, it could be that the Chiddush HaTorah of Lo Sigzal as Lav or Lo Bishnei Lav and maybe only refers to the Iker Din, which appears in that parsha of Lo Solim Pula Sochir Chalad Boker. So it's a double Chiddush of the Sefer Chinuch. So comes Minchas Chinuch, when that Sefer Chinuch says the Bechal doesn't understand it. How could anybody ever dream of saying that a guy who doesn't pay back a chov is a gazlan? It's a chpilei ploin. You can't believe that anybody should say such a thing. Rashi is absolutely 1,000,000% right, says the Mechas Chinuch. Why? What's the raya brura she'en alei tshuva? Kuvis. You remember it or you thought about Kuvis? Now what's the raya? Who learned last year with me? The raya brura from Kuvis that Pevav. Is that where it was, no? Pevav, right? I think. Who remembers the machlekes? Shibudu the raya, shibudu the rabbanim. I don't know if I've seen that machlekes, right? Shibudu the raya, shibudu the rabbanim. What's the machlekes? No. Basic Talmud 101. Shibud the right, Shibud the Rabbanan. No. Let's say I bought $100 from Kenny, right? So why do I have to pay him back? So there are two different reasons why I pay him back. One is called the Shibud Aguf, and one is called the Shibud Nechasim. Shibud Aguf means that I have a personal obligation to pay him back. Take me to the entire Shibud Nechasim means that even if I can't come up with the money, all my Nechasim become a Shibud to that Chayv. What does that mean practically? Let's say I would own a house, for argument's sake. So if I own a house and I borrow $100 from him, so he gets a lien on my house, and even if I sell the house to somebody else, he has the right to go collect $100 worth of that house. That's called Shibud Nechasim. It's only in Karak, it doesn't apply to Metalplin, why, but Lamaisa, Shibud Nechasim. Fine. So the Gemara raised the shah on the very end of a Vasra, as well as the first book of Kedushin. What kind of din is this? The fact that the Shibud Nechasim, the fact that you have a right to collect from somebody's property, is that a din min HaTorah, or is that a din min HaRabbanan? The Gemara never spells out what the pasuk would be. If it's derayt, it has to have a source somewhere. The Gemara never tells you what the pasuk is. Mashal and the Rishon, what the pasuk is. But the Gemara is machlokes. Is it shibud derayt or shibud derabon? Anyone know how we pass it? Shibud derayt or shibud derabon? Anyone know? So the Shach and Siman Lametes and Chayshe Mishbud talks about it for about 20 pages, and then right at the end, that's Torah Chiyah. Now we pass it. So you guys in the same boat as the Shach. So also not sure. Good. So we're not sure we pass it. Machlokes the Rishon. Fine. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Ksubis, and he asks a very, very funny kasha. The Gemara says, why do you have to pay back a chov? So the Gemara says, because it's a mitzvah, priyas b'chov mitzvah. Because you have to do it. So the Gemara says, let's say I don't want to do it. I'm not such a religious guy, I don't want to do it. So the Gemara says, so we force you to do it. How do we force him to do it? The same way the halach is, if a guy says he doesn't want to put on tefillin, so you're allowed to force him. We have to figure out how that works with man of that. But let's say in theory, so in theory, basically, could force the guy to do mitzvah say. So the guy says he doesn't want to do tefillin, so makan asachi teiti nafsha. Shadow, but it's advad b'chal or not. But whatever. Anyway, if it's advad b'chal, then he's not going to be around the next day. So let's say they beat him up to put on tefillin, beat him up to sit in the sukkah, beat him up to eat matzah, beat him up to yeshua for good. So Gemara says, beat him up, kofin aso, until he says he wants to do the mitzvah priyas b'chal. Fine. So very strange Gemara, so it's not peyval. The Gemara says, why do you pay back a chayv? Because it's a mitzvah. And if the guy doesn't want to, so then we beat him up. Where is the Gemara coming from? What's flying? So the Ramban has a famous piece in the end of Avodah Zarah, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on also. Ramban says that the Gemara means it like this. If you hold Shibud is Daraisa, so then you don't need this Gemara and Ksuba stuff to pay off. You know why you have to pay back a chayv? Because your house doesn't belong to you anymore. Because Shibud means that when Kenny lends me $100, so he bought a chaylik in my house. So now he owns $100 worth of my house. So of course I have to pay back the chayv. I don't pay back the chayv. So he comes and takes the $100 worth of the house that taka belongs to him. And if I don't want to, so then he'll come and take his property. But the Gemara's kasha is like this. If Shibud is lav d'araisa, means the whole principle of Shibud Nechasim was only instituted by the Chachamim. So min ha-Torah, why do I have to pay back a chov? Min ha-Torah, what peace does Beis Din have? How can Beis Din force me to pay back a chov? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, you know how Beis Din can force you to pay back the chov? Kofen oso, achi yom arotani. So the Ramban says, kofen oso means bein begufi, bein b'mamoni. Either they can beat me up to put on tefillin, or they can go take away my house to be yotzei my mitzvah of priyas b'chayv. So that whole shock of a time in the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Pei Vav, where the Gemara seems to say that min haTorah it's a religious requirement to pay back a chayv, which is subject to kfiyah Beis Din, that sugya seems to be saying that shibuda is not the araisa. That's what the Ramban says. So comes Mechas Chinuch now with the following kasha. The Gemara all of a sudden is waking up in Ksubas Naf Pei Vav and saying, wait a second, if you hold that Shibud is lav deraisa, so how could Beis Din force you to pay back a chov? What's the kasha? No? You answer the kasha. So Moshe, what's the kasha? Gemara wakes up in Ksubas. 86 blind into Masechet Ksubas, and the Gemara says, if she would love the rice, so wait a second, how can we make you pay back a chov? And the Gemara says, yeah, the only way we can make you pay back a chov is because we have a right to beat you up to put on tefillin. That's what the Gemara says. You know what's kasha? If the Sefer Chinuch's right, but you're a goslin. What do you mean, how can we force you? Why can't we force you? He's just like, Zeh Asher Gozal. There's a mitzvah. There's a lot to say. You're in constant violation of the signal if you don't pay back the chov. So comes the Chetzin and says, L'char yisir raya brura, she'en ala tshuva, from that Gemara, that there's no gazela involved in not paying back the chov. If she would have derived, so okay, then you have a right out, because it's mamash yours. You have a chshir and then a chosim. If she would have loved the raisa, then you have to pay back a chov because of the mitzvah, lefroa hachov, and kofen ala mitzvahs. But the two words the Gemara never said, those two magic, dead giveaway words that the Gemara never introduced was lo sigzol. Why didn't the Gemara say lo sigzol? So the answer is, as Mechas Chinuch, is Rashi in Sanhedrin, Tavbeis, and Aleph is right. I'm going to say, for Chinuch is not right. That there's no such thing as gezela in not paying a back a chov. That's the raya of the Mechas Chinuch. Right, well, we just added in the Ramban just to make the Gemara flow a little bit better. I mean, you have to understand what the flow of the Gemara was. Why the Gemara all of a sudden raises Kasha? So the Ramban says the Kasha was only Be'ochibudu Lab Deraisa. Be'ochibudu Deraisa, then there's not even a Kasha to begin with. Okay, so Mechas Chinuch is picking up from that Ramban and say, okay, but it should still be Mechuv to Bebech Echol, also Sigzal. Okay, good. So far so good, right? So far, very simple. So we have Rashi and Hasugya. We have Rashi and Gittin that corroborates the Rashi and Hasugya. We have that potential Pshat in the Gemara Gittin that can get out of that. We have the Sefer Chinuch that Taka disagrees with Rashi, of the Chinuch Ta'ara, and the Gemara Ksubas, Alachar Rashi is right. So we have to move on to the second half of Rashi, though. Rashi told us two Chidushim. What were they? First, Rashi tells us no Gezela by not paying back a Chayim. Then Rashi said something else. Look what Rashi said. What else did Rashi say? We only read five words in the whole Rashi. Rashi told you a reason why. Rashi is very helpful. He tells you a din and then he tells you why. So he tells you because Milvah Otzon didn't know. So we explained that very, very shaky when we started off the shiur. Milvah Otzon didn't know. So therefore, it's not considered to be an act of Gezela. Where else does the Gemara have Milvah Otzon didn't know? Yeah, what's the second condition? Who remembers? That's the main sugya. Modaf, remember Modaf? From Modaf? Very good, very good. So where's that Gemara? No, two places. And also, who remembers? Two places, really. Vav, it starts in Avav, and then the Gemara doesn't use the phrase Mubal Atan in there, right? But later on, it uses it. So comes the Gemara, and condition says like this. Kaddish b'milva ein mekudeshes. Let's say I want to marry this girl, and I happen to have lent her money last month. Okay, all right. So I lay whatever. Let's say we're engaged. Okay, so then we're engaged, and she went shopping, and she's a little low on cash, so she calls her chassan. So I go bail her out, and I come, and I give her $100, lend her money. Good. So now I'm standing under the chuppah, and I'm about to pull out a ring, mekudesh, and I say, you know what? I remember correctly, you still owe me $100. Okay, so I can save this ring and I'll sell it, make a few dollars. I said, you know what, rather than giving you this kesef of kedushin, the shavik kesef of kedushin, I ran mekudeshes with the fact that the $100 that you owe me from last month, that you didn't pay back yet, the first of many, many such loans. So, mekadesh ben milva. So the Gemara says that's no good. Mekadesh ben milva ain't mekudeshes. Kedushin is not going to be chal. Why is the kedushin not going to be chal? Three words, milva leotzon, no. So the Pashup shot with the Gemara saying is like this, that in order to be Mekadesh and Isha, you have to give her something. And the Chassid's got to give something to the Kala. So here, what's he giving her? He's giving her what? $100? Those $100 bills? Those $100 bills are long gone. Those $100 bills, once he lent her the money last month, those $100 bills belong to her. They're not his anymore. She has a new Ischaivus to pay back $100. That is true. She has a Ischaivus to pay back $100, and that is true. But in terms of who's the owner of those $100 bills, it ain't him anymore. That's understood. You lend money, so the person's going to use the money for lotzi, to buy things, invest, whatever, etc. So therefore, what is Rashi saying? So Rashi's saying, gezela means when I take something that belongs to somebody else. So here, I'm the lova. I borrowed $100 from Kenny, and now I'm not paying Kenny back $100. So what am I stealing from him? $100 is $100. And all of a sudden, I'm not paying back a chayv, so I'm kofir ala mitzvah, or I'm a bum, or shibu, whatever the Gemara Ketubah says. But in terms of calling me a gazin, can't call me a kavlo. So Rashi put those two statements together. The reason why there's no gazela for not paying back a chayv is because mevulot zanin, and the sugi mevulot zanin, and the primary sugi being in terms of maseches kedushin. Just parenthetically, anyone remember the machlekes the Rambam and the other Rishonim about that Gemara? That is true. I could do that if I reword the kedushin to Taras Hanah, that would work. But I didn't do that. I just said Harem Kedush Li the Mechilas Hamilva. So the Rambam has a unique sheet in that sugya. Like the Rambam says that true. We're getting there. We're not even up to that yet. This is parenthetically. That's the real part of the shir. Parenthetically, part of the shir is most of the time the parentheses are bigger than the shir. So comes the Rambam and says that din Mekadosh Mevulah Beinim Mekadosh, that's only a din by kedushin. That's not true by regular mechira. Like let's say you lend me $100, and now I let you $100. Okay, I lent you $100. Now I want to buy your field. So the Rambam says I could do that. I could say I'm going to buy the field. So the mechulach the mechila $100. Rambam says that's okay. It works by regular mechira. It doesn't work by kedushin. Most of the rishonim say it doesn't work even by regular mechira. What's machlekes the Rambam with the other rishonim? No, what's the lamdas? What is the Rambam clearly holding? Kaddish b'milva is a chisaron and what? The Rambam's holding it's only a chisaron and hilchos kedushin, and all the other rishonim are assuming that it's a chisaron in the very etzem kinyan kesef. So both of the rishonim say kinyan kesef means the kona has to give kesef. The mocher, so milva lotzon, it means that he's not giving him kesef. And the Rambam seems to have an entirely different shot. The Rambam says no, it's only a chisaron by kedushin that works in a regular mechira. And the reason is the Rambam seems to say the Avin Meluim is standard upon this. The Rambam seems to say that there's a difference between buying a field and buying a woman. A lot of differences, but one of the differences says the Rambam is that when you buy a field, all you need is a kinyan kesef. That's it. To be Mekadosh and Isha, you need kesef plus what? Kesef plus hanoah. The Rambam coined the phrase. You need kesef sheyesh b'hanoah. If you're Mekadosh and Isha, even though you did a Maiseh Kinyan Kesef, but you didn't do a Kesef which is an expression of Hana'ah, if you weren't Mahana the woman with Hana'ah Kesef Shavafuta, the Kedushin and Adchal. This is the ongoing sheet of the Rambam throughout Masechus Kedushin. The Rambam has it in a few places. That's why the Rambam says that in Matalam Lafahakta doesn't work by Kedushin. The Gemara says that if I want to buy a field from you so I can give you $100, on the condition that you return $100 to me, that's okay. That's a good, valid, nice Kinyan for Kinyan Kesef. But the Gemara says it doesn't work for Kedushin. And the Kaddish from Matanas Achter is no good. So whereas Taisa says it's only a Chumra Midrabanam, it's a Gezeya Midrabanam, the Rambam says it's a Dinmin HaTorah. And the rationale behind the Dinmin HaTorah is that Matanam Las Achter is called a Maisa Kesef, but it's not called a Maisa Kesef Sheesh Bah. No, you're not getting anything back. It's all the same. Money she has no interest. We're going to beat her up till she pays it back. We're going to beat the living daylight out of her.
You can only say that
if kill her. What?
You can only say that if
you
can beat her up if
it's not necessary. No, for sure. The Gemara is the first. Yeah, Josh. Yeah, Pasha is going to everybody again. Because Hano, by definition, yeah, Hanoah is also good. Hanoah is Kikasaf, yeah. That's also okay. Anyway, so again, so getting back to this story. I don't want to get too confused in terms of Hanoah. What's the one second? So the Gemara says again, the Gemara says, Mekadosh Mevulah Beinim Mekadosh. So whereas most of Shem say it's a chisard in the Etzem Kasaf, the Rambam is a unique sheet that it's a chisard in the Hanoah. But the bottom line is all the dust settled. Mekadosh Mevulah Beinim Mekadosh. And the reason the Gemara spells out why Mekadosh Mevulah Beinim Mekadosh is because Mevulah Beinim Mekadosh. No, I'm sorry. Oh, that Ritva. Okay, we're going to get to the Ritva. We're going to get to the Ritva in a second. Okay. So there is a big machlekes that we've shown him in that sugya of Mekadosh b'milva, and the reason being because Milva son, you know, following major machlekes, fundamental machlekes. What exactly do the words mean, Milva l'otzon, you know? So you can really understand it one of two ways. Either you can understand Milva l'otzon, you know, means when I lend you $100, So it's understood you're going to use the $100. So as soon as you take the $100 and you go to the store and you buy your $100 worth of potatoes, so that's it. The money's over, finished. That cash doesn't belong to the Malva anymore. That's it. The Leiv is the right to use the money and the discussion. That's one way of understanding Milva Latzonim. Or, what's another way? As soon as I give the money to the Lovet, that's it. I'm out of the parsha. I am history. That $100 is no longer mine. Now he has either a Shiva Nechas, a Shiva Nechas, for Mrs. Pirah, whatever you want to call it. You pick the Gemara Subas and plug it in. But in terms of when does the halacha Milva Latzonim set in, so it's quite possible that it sets in Bishas Halva Mamish. Not at the time when he actually invests or uses the money. Tremendous nafkamina. tremendous nafkamina. Very often, let's say, I lend you $100, and you take $100, you put it in your wallet, and you're going shopping later today. And bottom line, between now and when you go shopping, who owns that $100? If you hold the first shot, so then the malva owns the $100. If you hold the second shot, then the lova owns the $100 at that point. You may have certain halachic status in terms of that money, but in terms of, I want to know who the Baal boss is, forget who the Shomer is. I want to know who's the Baal of that money. Okay? For my nafkamina, who's the Baal of it? It's a tremendous nafkamina. What do you want to be Makadosh to Isha at that time? Well, let's say, getting back to the story like this. Okay, let's say I'm engaged, a girl calls me up and says, listen, I'm $100 short, need $100 to go shopping, got to buy something for the wedding, good. Come, bring $100. She's walking around with $100. And something happens, she never ends up buying it. She's still got the $100. She's got the $100, comes the day of the wedding. She's still got the $100, it's sitting in a purse waiting in the college room. Fine. Under the chuppah, I get a little bit stingy. I say, listen, I don't want to use the ring anymore. I want to be mekashe with $100. Where's the $100? She says, oh, by golly, I haven't used it yet. I haven't spent it yet, it's sitting in the room next door. So I say to her, okay, you know what? I'm meichel to give you $100. I'm mekudesh to sleep with that $100. It should be yours. Does that work or not? So the Ritva in Masechet Kedushin says that does not work. You know why? Says the Ritva, Milva Lotza Nidna. Doesn't work. Finished. The Ritva understood Milva Lotza means at the time when you hand over the money, it belongs to the Kala. Once it belongs to the Kala, I'm out of the picture. Either because the Chisaron and the Maisa Kinyas, the Chisaron and the you name whatever you want to call it. Once the Mesiris Amos takes place, Milva Lotza Nidna, end of discussion.
Even though went to the other side that she only gets the one to suspend it, if she didn't send it, he can't be multiplied, and he can't be multiplied from yours.
No, he's not Michael. He's saying, I'm giving to you now, which is
whatever Kenyan he gave her.
Yeah, you want to know how could you be a Kaddish and Isha without a mice and a Sina? That's what's bothering you. You're bothered with that cash. Okay, so either the mice and a Sina may have happened beforehand, or it could be you don't need a mice and a Sina for Kedushin. Anyone know about that? I remember? A little Kedushin recently? Chok Lefana? Yeah, okay, something like that. Right? Good, okay, yeah, good. No, who read the Rambam? Where's the Rambam? The Rambam? Where's Ellie? Where'd he go? He left. Clarity is flying somewhere. Okay. Who should we dedicate this year to be our... I think Zev, you just opened your mouth. No one has a Rambam? Okay, we'll give it a break. Okay, so the Rambam, that was in the Rambam? But who Rambam is the Lashon Rambam? Where's Dr. Schwab? We need the pages. Well, like colorful people from last year. He's coming next week, Dr. Schwab. He's in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone remember the Rambam? Oh, I forget. Anyway, the Rambam says like this. Okay, Zev's in charge of all extracurricular activities.
What?
You're in charge of all extracurricular activities. Getting a svarim, organizing barbecue. Forget it. I'll say about that. Yes, sir. He's in charge of barbecues, football games, Shabbatonim, Hanukkah parties, and so it is. Okay, we have a very exciting year coming up. Anyway, so comes the Rambam and says that Mekadesh Milva Einu Mekudeshes. Rambam uses a lashon that's somewhat misleading, and many Acharayim were pshat in the Rambam. So what the Rambam means is that Milva Latzah Nitna only sets in, not like the Ritva said at the time of Mesiris Hamos, but only at the time of the spending of the Mos. therefore, according to the Rambam, in that crazy scenario, Tachat Kedushin may very well be Chal. Now, this Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ritzva, becomes critical in terms of our Sugya, right? Because what's going on? Rashi is telling us an unbelievable Chiddush that the reason why, when you pay back a when you don't pay back a Chov, why are you not in violation of Gezeila? You really should have been. After all, you're taking you're holding on to somebody else's money. Gaval, it's a terrible thing. So Rashi says what saves us from being labeled as a gazlan is the halachic principle of Lotzonitna. So now, hold on. Now, hold the phone. If that's the reason, those three words are the key behind why you're not a gazlan, that may very well chop an askamina. What's it in the following case? Let's say I lend you $100. And the money is still be'en, it's still around, and now you turn around and say, I'm not paying back the chayiv. So according, if you put together Rashi and Sanhedrin with the Rambam, what's going to be? What are you, Kenny? You're a gazlan, right? Because according to Rashi, it's not that not paying back a chayiv is by definition not called gazela. Not paying back a chayiv could be gazela. It's not so terrible to call that gazela. It's a quirk why it's not gazela. The quirk is Mivul Tzundinah. So if the quirk doesn't exist, let's say according to the Rambam Shita, that the quirk of Mivul Tzundinah only sets in at the time of the spending of the money, so you could have a hechetimtza of violating gazela by not paying back a chayv. Hashenkin, obviously, according to the Ritva, who says the Mivul Tzundinah starts from the first moment that the money is handed over, miyad amavel, miyad aloyve, then obviously by definition, you're never going to have a scenario of labeling a ena peres a chayv as being a gazela. Right, Rashi talked about pikkudim there, right?
Right.
Rashi talked about pikkudim. So pikkudim is a little bit different because milveh suddenly doesn't apply to pikkudim. Because milveh, it's understood you're not going to give back the same dollar. Let's say I lend you a car.
Until he actually, until he actually uses the money,
he's not involved. No, but it's a different using. You see, there's a difference. In English, it's misleading. In English, you say, can I borrow $100 from you? Can I borrow your car? So in halacha, those are two totally different things. When I borrow $100 from you, it's understood I'm going to give you back different dollar bills. When I borrow your car, can you imagine, I borrow your car, and then at the end of the month, I say to you, oh, by the way, I like that car, I'm going to keep that car, I'll give you another car. So that's a gazlan, that's a kofi b'pikot, and shalach v'yat, that you're not allowed to do. So there's a little bit of a difference between the two. So getting back to our story. So Rashi committed himself here by being told the reason why you're not a gazlan, in the klal of Mivul Tzundinah, which opens up this whole scenario of understanding, well, does Mivul Tzundinah apply in all circumstances or not? Is there another way to understand that Mishnah? I'm getting a learning Sanhedrin, right? Some days. Any other way to understand that Mishnah, why Gezeilos, Bechavolos, and Hodolos, and Havolos are different? Nothing to do with Mivul Tzundinah, no? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We got a couple of weeks about that. But I want to know, getting still back to the story. Is there any other reason why not paying back a chayiv is not a gazlan? Like, did Rashi need to say that? Mivul Tzundinah? Can you come up with another reason why it's not a gazlan? Isn't it much more basic? Much more elementary reason? Yeah, what does gazlan mean? Did Rashi quote a pasuk? Rashi started out with a pasuk. Doesn't the word gazela taich? So, you know, the lexicon, you look at the dictionary. No, bivrit, what does it mean? Ligzol. To steal, to rob. So, I borrowed money, I'm your best friend, I borrowed money, and now I'm not paying back the money. So that's cool, I'm a bump, and I'm paying back the money, but I'm not a gazlan. I mean, in Yiddish, with the gazlan. It's a gazlan. You know, gazashina, everything you do, you're a gazlan. L'chora, there's a much simpler reason why you have to label the guy as not being a gazlan. Because that's not called an act of gazela. Finish. The gazela means to give something. Not me da person. Isn't that pasha? What? Oh, by shomer, it could be, Misha Sholach Bayad, that's a very different story. So that, you know, Chinami, Mitchila was talking given Midas, but now it's, at this point, it's no longer Midas. No, it's not the same. No, it's not the same thing. By Halva, totally passive. That means, right now, I'm not giving you back something. It's not the same thing. So, L'chora, this would have been a very good pshat. Who says this, by the way? Who says this to Farish? No? You know who says this? Who says this distinction? That the word gazela means to take something shelo brishut. The chinuch is the worst one to use the total antithesis of this. Chinuch said, "Yimam shara gazlan." Who's the one who says that? Did I say the question backwards? Who's the one who says that the word gazela means to take something shaloi bishus? Once you have the guy's bishus to take it, mitchila, b'ali yada beheter, that's not gazela. The Rambam, in the beginning of it was gazela, so that's a fairish. The Rambam draws a distinction between gazela and what? An oshek. Remember the Gemara threw the two together? The Rambam says, what does losashek mean and what does losigdal mean? So the Rambam says, losashek means that I'm not giving you money that you are entitled to. Why am I not giving it to you? Because you worked for me, I'm not paying you. I borrowed $100, I'm not paying you. I bought a car from you, I'm not paying you. The Rambam says those are all examples of oshek. The Rambam says black and white, those are not, most of them are not gazela. Gazela, says the Rambam, what pasuk does the Rambam quote? By golly, the same pasuk as Rashi. He must have been the same Tanakh class together. He lost the Chanas Miyana Mitzri. Now, how do they really know that Pasuk? The Pasuk where? The Pasuk in Baba Kama. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk. That's it. So, if he lost the Chanas Miyana Mitzri, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. That's Gazela. Also in Sefer Shmuel. Okay. So, the Ramban starts out like Rashi, that a Gazlan is that he lost the Chanas Miyana Mitzri, and the Ramban stops. The Ram doesn't give you a whole story with Mubal Otson and Chagadji with this and that and that. No. The Ram says the guy that doesn't pay back a chayv is not a gazlan because gazela has a very specific connotation in halacha of doing an act of isra. It has to be osa b'shas maisa. If the maisa, the tilas hamamon was b'rishus, that's not called that. You could call it something else. You can call it omer. You can call it whatever you please. You want to call it oshek. Do whatever you want. But don't mislabel in halacha as calling it gezela. Obviously, according to the Rambam's understanding, then a bal chayv, a leiver doesn't pay back a chayv, is never going to be in violation of gezela. It's like doing mivlot tzadik. I don't care what you're holding up mivlot tzadik. It's totally irrelevant. So we really have three different mahalchim in the Rishonim here. Three totally different mahalchim. How to view a guy who doesn't pay back a chayv? According to the Sefer Chinuch, Taka is a gazlan. Chinuch Enami, Taka is in violation of gezela. According to both Rashi and Rambam, he's not a gazlan for two totally different reasons. According to Rashi, it's only because of the quirk of Milvah Lotzon, no? Which is going to depend on when that applies in Yasser or not. Whereas according to the Rambam, he's not a violation of Gezeilah, because Gezeilah means to take Bishas Ma'it of Issa. Where did the Rambam agree to the other Rishon? There's one case the Rambam does agree to. Even though you didn't really do a Ma'it of Issa, it's still a violation of gezeila. That's what Josh was saying, but we call that shlichus yad. That's like the ma'isa. Where's the one case the Rambam hands a tie? The Rambam has to agree that it is shayach to conceive of gezeila without doing netilas mamon be'isa. No, you should figure it out. Either if you saw the Rambam, the Rambam comes, you should figure it out. And even if you didn't, you should figure it out from what we said before in Shia. Well, did the Gemara say that? Which part did the Gemara say? The Gemara only... Lagabe what? Lagabe Kovesh Schat Sochir. Right? That's the Gemara of the Fevish. The guy is a Kovesh Schat Sochir is in violation of Lo Sigzol. Hey, this flies in the face of the Rama. Kovesh Schat, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything off the Bishas Maisa. The guy came to work for me. The guy painted my house. Yeah, they're going to pay, I said, yeah, I'm not going to pay him. How could that call the gezela? So our korchach, the Rambam holds, that's the yaitzim in Akhman. That's the gezera sakosov. Because remember, the Gemara was bothered with the kasha. Why do you need Lo Sigzol for? Lo Sigzol is pashut. After all, you can figure it out from ribbisin or no. So it must be, says the Gemara, chidish gezera sakosov, that since the end of the pasuk says, well, folks, Lo Sochi Chad Baikir, Oishik Schar Sochi is a violation of gezela, even though, says the Rambam, it really shouldn't have been. According to the Sefer Chinuch, it should be, because Gezeil and Oshek and not paying back, it's all the same thing. According to Rashi, in theory it could be. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with labeling Kovesh Chatzach as being an act of Gezeila. But according to the Rambam, it's wrong. It's dead wrong. It's against the very definition. It's against the Taich. It's against the basic Pashup Shah in the word Lo Sigzol. So how could you be in violation of Lo Sigzol for not paying your worker? That's the exception to the rule. That's the greatest akosa according to the Rambam. And there's nothing to do with malve and nothing to do with not paying back for hakafas achanus and not paying back for other reasons. According to the Rambam, it's a unique there's a cost of hukus charsochir. Kavir charsochir is in violation of those six. The act based, all right? It's going to fill some other reason. He worked. Yeah, but what would the Rambam say? No, what would the Rambam say like this? When the Shas Ma'is, I was planning on paying the guy. And then a week later, I said, I'm not paying you. The Rambam says you're in violation of the Sikha. It was Mam Shino Ma'is. It was the Ma'is of the Heter. The same way I borrowed money. What's the difference? I borrowed money, I hired you to work. But we did now, we agreed to something, it was Heter when we agreed, and now I changed my mind. I don't pay back the Chayiv. I'm not going to pay you. So it's a big Kiddush according to the Rambam. What's the one Gemara that seems to be not fit so well into the Shittas Rambam? The Rambam, this all-encompassing statement of the Rambam that basically you can't violate Gezela unless you're, unless you're did a Ma'aseh this. What's the Gemara that's flying in the face here? And what's the key? You say Ribbis. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that if the Torah would have just said Ribbis, then I'm not going to free out Gezela. Is it Ribbis the classic example when the guy is giving it Midaito? Isn't that what Ribbis means? Ribbis means the mouth of it into an agreement. The Torah says he's not allowed to do it, but he's giving the money Midaito. And the Gemara is lumping it all together. The Gemara says, yeah, Ribbis, Gezela. No, yeah, it's all the same thing. There's really no reason for the Torah to write all three. We couldn't learn that one from another. So the Chara, that seems to indicate that the definition of Gezela may not necessarily be the way the Rambam is presenting it. So it's Arachin a little bit in the Rambam. But I call upon him, just a little bit of Sikkum over here. So what do we have? We have our Mishnah, we have our Rashi, we have the Gemara Masechet Gittin, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, which ends up the Maskanas Gemara supports what Rashi was saying in Masechet Sanhedrin. We had an alternate pshat in the Gemara. That alternate pshat, or Rashi's pshat, depends on that machlokes of Rashba and Rosh Hashanah and the Tosfos in Yevamos. Then we had the Sefer Chinuch's tremendous chiddush that the guy who doesn't break the chol v'tachet is the Goslin. The Cheschinus Ha'or from the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara doesn't seem to introduce Gezela into the equation. Then we had the fact that Rashi spells out the reason why the guy is not a Goslin is because of Mivulotzon. You know. So we said that's going to depend on when that klal applies or not. Machlekes is the Ritvon, the Rambam Megabe, so it was Kedushin. And then we have a whole different Mahalach, the Rambam's Mahalach, that maybe the reason why the guy is not a Goslin is because of the very definition in terms of the Gezela. Okay, so we finished the first sugya. Was Maskin? Okay, good. Just one second before we go. I want guys to be able to go down the middle from the Bishmerish.